Well, as you know, we faced substantial challenges when I first got here. I was fixated on addressing those challenges, which were very threatening to the institution, financial leadership challenges and all the rest. And I believe if anything went wrong, I spent probably more time, was more fixated on those challenges and didn't spend as much time and carefully visit with different constituencies explaining the nature of those challenges and how we were and the board was trying to address them. But what I want to do now is do more of what I should have been doing all along, and then to set a new tone and a new pattern for this kind of constant communications so that we don't misunderstand each other.
Have you scheduled any of the regular meetings that you've talked about on the three campuses?
Yes, we have. I don't have a complete list in front of me, but I've already met with our colleagues in Springfield. That includes the chancellor, the vice chancellor, the deans there. I met with a student leadership group, a very good group of about a dozen students. I met with members of the Springfield Faculty Senate. I'm scheduling similar meetings on this campus, especially Urbana, where we have a meeting with the faculty scheduled for March 30th.
Do you feel that, the admissions scandal and its fallout had any impact on levels of trust in the relationship between faculty and the administration at the U of I?
That's a good question. You know, I don't feel, since I wasn't here when the admissions scandal occurred, but I really don't feel that I can speak directly to it. But it's clear that there was a breakdown in the leadership at the university, including the board leadership, and that it probably compounded the financial problems that we were dealing with, got preoccupied with other things. You know, then you end up in worse financial shape, and you end up with faculty that aren't getting paid when they should get paid, and staff the same. You end up with furlough days nobody likes to take. And so when the leadership breaks down at the top and the governance system breaks down at the top, all things that are necessary to pay attention to can, I'm not saying they were, but they can get slighted or ignored, and that can cause, and rightly so, additional frustration with the faculty and between the faculty and the leadership.
Some of the faculty members have complained that their input has been ignored or manipulated. If that's the case, how will you change the process of developing an enrollment management plan to meet the principles of this idea of shared governance?
I didn't receive the task force report from the faculty until December 27th. After that, there was a bowl game and two holidays and a board of trustees meeting, so in between that time when I received it and the time when I was beginning to prepare to respond to it, there was, of course, an eruption of opposition to enrollment management, to the enrollment management plan. But since then, I've had two meetings with the Senate's conference. I brought Chairman Kennedy with me. We've really addressed their concerns. We had not only the benefit of their task force report, but we have spent a lot of time with them trying to elaborate each point they made in that task force report. And then we've systematically tried to address their issues and their concerns. And this has been an ongoing process. I mean, I had the same process with the chancellors. A lot of give and take. We ultimately reached an accommodation I think the chancellors and I could live with. And then we went from there now into the Senate's conference, and we're going through exactly the same process. And I hope the same result, that we'll find an accommodation that we can each live with. That's my expectation.
Some people have accused you of bullying Urbana Chancellor Phyllis Wise over the enrollment policy. How would you characterize your relationship with her?
Actually, I think I have a good relationship with her, and I'd be surprised if she felt bullied. She's a very strong person, and we have free and frank exchanges, as you would expect, between colleagues doing common business, and I've never heard her use the word bully. And So while I may have sent off an edgy email here or there that I deeply regret, I think generally we work well together. And also it's worth reminding ourselves that she's been on the job 5 months. I've been on the job going on 2 years. I'm still relatively new. She's still very new. And in fact, we're still learning how to work with each other. But I have I hired her and recommended her appointment to the board. I have a vested stake in her success. If she doesn't succeed, I don't succeed, that's for sure, and vice versa. So I think we're working out our relationship just fine. And I think it'll be a wonderful and collegial relationship over the long term.
You told me in January that you would like to eventually find someone to perform the tasks of chief of staff in replace of Lisa Troyer. When do you hope to fill that role?
I think it's going to be a while. It requires at least an internal search and exploration. And right now I feel that I can parcel out a lot of that work to other people in the office, the vice presidents. They're all working too hard already, but I'd rather handle it that way. And give the selection of a new chief of staff the time and attention that it deserves when I have that kind of time.
And then finally, do you feel that you have the resources and environment you need to effectively execute the charge that you've been given, given what's been going on?
Yes, I think I do, and I plan to do that. I just hope to do it with a little more success.